Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know.
It's going to be lighthearted, but in a serious way, is kind of what's going to happen tonight for some of it. And then other stuff's just going to be, you know, our cool, normal back-and-forth talk. But anyway, so how was your weekend?
Weekend was lovely. I go for surgery tomorrow to get the webs between my toes removed. 4 inches of brain over, 6 days? I woke myself up the other night quacking. I thought I had turned into a duck. This is bullshit, Mother Nature, you psychotic bipolar crazy broad.
Yeah,
and then, of course, today it was 90 degrees, and I'm sweating my... Yeah, you get the point.
Yeah.
I don't think Mother Nature knows what she's doing. Her meds ain't right.
Yeah, she's definitely been temperamental this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, truth be told, man, I'm kind of terrified for what she's got planned for us for winter. Well, something tells me I'm not going to be able to run my truck with slicks this year. I'm going to have to put something on it that'll get me through some snow. I can live with that. Because if we don't have snow, or if we do have snow, after the snow, then we have mud. And we know what happens when Dennis gets near mud in his truck. He calls a wrecker.
You know what? For that, from experience this weekend, I will highly recommend the shameless plug of the Mickey Thompson Baja MTs. Wow. Things are awesome. They suck on the road for 90% of your driving, but for that time you want to get stupid, wow.
Even if I'm on the road, well, around here anyway, if I'm on the road, I still consider myself getting stupid because I'm on the road and I've seen how all these other jackasses around here drive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there we go.
That's pretty much everywhere. No, man, Sunday. So I've owned my Jeep for November will be 2 years, which for all of you who've known me for a while, I pretty much flip a vehicle every year and get something different. Whereas nothing that's really been catching my attention recently. And, you know, a car is a car is a car is a car is kind of what I'm seeing. And if I don't want a $1,000 a month payment, there's really nothing cool. But in that, I could not go with the whole life of having my Jeep without actually going off-road. Then I'm talking like not just pull over on the gravel or, you know, tear up a cornfield. I'm talking about off-roading. Yeah, I'm shocked that I didn't break anything. But what we did is we went to this place called the Cliffs, Insane Terrain, if that gives you any idea about it. And they have a bunch of different trails, like dirt bike quads and Jeeps and trucks. And I think in total it's somewhere in the ballpark of 400 or 500 acres of forest. And they have different obstacles. What's up?
Oh, good grief. Hey, let me do this. I'm going to make an announcement. Those that are sitting on hold, I've got two of you sitting there. Go ahead and pay attention to the phone because I tried to reach over and screen you and nobody would manage to respond. So let's find out who we have on hold.
I know. Well, same area code. It's fine.
Okay,
like,
never mind. Never mind. I know exactly who they both are. We're all good.
Hi, Naomi. I assume. Hi, Faith.
Yep, that is it. That is it. All right. Faith. So we're all good. Thank you, darling. All right.
So, yeah, no. The Cliffs Insane Terrain is exactly what it sounds like. And, Dennis, have you ever quads, dirt bikes, anything like that, ever been to an actual off-road park?
You mean like a legal one where I was allowed to be there?
Yeah, where you paid to go in and spend the day and tear shit up?
No. I'm not even sure we have those around my neck of the woods, brother.
Nah, I'm sure you do.
I've been in a lot of places where you know, you had to worry about, well, yeah, trespass charges and shit like that.
Well, so, all right, so this is, and like I said, I think it's anywhere between 400 and 600 acres is what this is, and it's forest, it's trail, there's dirt bike tracks in there, there's rock climbs, there's big-ass crawlers and stuff around, and, dude, we're out there, and I got two-door 2004 Jeep Wrangler, a little bit of motor work done to it, on 33s with a 2-inch lift. Which I'm kind of kicking myself. I should have bought the 3-inch lift, but I never got stuck. Bottomed out a whole bunch of times. They have this set up, and I need to throw out a suggestion. I know that nobody from the Cliffs is listening, but if anybody local who's been in the Cliffs will agree with me on this. The trail markings are for shit. We ended up on an ATV trailer to where we were, or a trail to where we were going down to where our mirrors were bouncing off of trees in mud because it was that tight, because it wasn't marked properly. Yeah, and try and turn around. It's not fun.
Now, the question I have, was it truly that they didn't have it marked, or y'all just didn't know what the hell you were doing? Come on.
No, they had... They have green signs. You stay on trail one, stay on trail one, which is kind of the, like they do it by height restrictions. So trail one is, you know, 10 to 12 inches clearance and then 14 to, you know, whatever for trail two. And then ATVs.
Good Lord, what if you got a small PP? You can't even go. Oh, wait, you meant vehicle height. Oh, shit. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I got completely confused there.
Yeah, I do too. wait, what is... Oh, I thought it was a girl.
What the hell was I talking about again? Gotcha.
So, yeah, you did. So the green trails is the ones you're supposed to stay on if you're in vehicles with a certain ground clearance. Well, we ended up on the black trails, which is making a wrong turn, and black and red are next to each other. Red is for ATV, black is for, holy shit, what is that thing? Well,
yeah.
we ended up on the holy shit, what is that thing, when you can clearly look at our vehicles and say, those are Jeeps. Not a good combination. So, there was one thing that I learned that my vehicle doesn't have for that kind of stuff. It's called a little thing called articulation.
Oh, never mind.
Dude, I kid you not, my kidneys and my lower back, I was walking like a 95-year-old man with scoliosis. They kicked the crap out of me. But... For anybody out there who is in not so nice of a climate and all that kind of stuff, like myself, I highly suggest any of the Jeep Wranglers, even if we had a stock Rubicon that was behind us, 2006. My motor, not the new motor, all that stuff, this thing performed acts that only God himself with a toy car could have done. I don't know how he got through half the stuff he got through, but yes, I highly, highly recommend. Be prepared to sacrifice gas mileage, but you can get through most of pretty much anything. So, yes, that is my shameless plug for Jeep also. I was extremely impressed. We had a whole bunch of fun, got real dirty, still real dirty. Haven't had the time to clean it
you
yet.
You haven't washed it?
Oh, no, it's still wearing its badges.
I think, well, I know mine had to wear the badges overnight at least because, you know, that's how long it took me to find a wrecker that would go a mile and a half up the trail to get me. And,
yeah,
all right.
If you're looking for tires, Mickey Thompson Baja MTs are great, great tires.
So, and if you're looking for a trail guide, I'm not it. I sucked at that.
So do I. So if you follow me, you will end up on the Black Trail. Because that's exactly what happened. Their map is for shit, too. I almost brought my...
Oh, wait a minute. Stop. Freeze right there. You looked at the map?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first right here on Full Spectrum Radio. A man looked at a map to get directions. Holy shit. I told you we would set radio history, dude. A man admitted looking at a map. Holy shit.
Yes. Yes. I realized that my GPS was really not worth shit.
I'm going to get muted before this night's over, ain't I?
All I saw was a big nothing and a car. That was it. So I almost brought, just in case, I almost brought my marine and aircraft GPS that shows you everything, all the topography and all that stuff. Yeah, had about 10 minutes to leave to meet up with everybody in time, and I couldn't find it. So I was waiting, and I swear, anybody with a newborn, and I mean a newborn, like, you know, maybe not even left the hospital yet, do me a favor for the people at the Cliffs. Give them a crayon and a piece of paper, and I'll accept that as a better map than the crap that they had us following. Because it is wretched.
So basically you're thinking that they were like Betty Ford Center dropouts that made up the map?
I think it was Michael J. Fox on a shit ton of caffeine. Because it was just straight up scribbles everywhere.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, Monday was definitely better.
But now, depending on which GPS you have, see, at least mine was entertaining because I changed the little, like, car icon. So mine actually showed, like, these big tires hanging out the side of the truck. But, I mean, it didn't show me in the middle of anything, just a white screen, which kind of sucked. At least I knew what direction of travel I was going. I just couldn't tell how deep the ruts were. But I did make a discovery. When you have a, now this has been, let's see, we're in what, 7 years ago that I put my truck through the mud like that. I mean, I've been off-road with it numerous times since, but I mean, I really put this thing through the mud. Less than 5,000 miles on it. Quad cab, Cummins diesel, I'm having a blast. You want to know how to make a man truly cry? The old saying is, you know, if you kick a man in the nuts, you watch him cry. No, make him walk out of the woods a mile and a half and leave his baby behind, stuck in a mud puddle.
Well, at least you know it wasn't going anywhere.
Oh, yeah, they couldn't have stole it. God, if I can't get it out, they couldn't get it out. Now, here's the even worse part. I drive a Dodge. I had to get yanked out by, God help me. I can't even bring my name to say that. I can't even bring myself to say the name. And it had that bow tie thing on the front of it.
Oh, good old Chevy.
Well, that 38-inch mudders and a 12-ton winch is what it took him to get me out. When I tell you I stuck this son of a bitch, brother, I was stuck. My running boards are about 18 inches off the ground. Not that day. They were about 6 inches under the ground. Yeah, let's just say I found some big boy's ruts.
Oh, you found you found like a swamp crawler's ruts.
Dude, I don't know what it was. I'm thinking like a deuce and a half or something. You know, them great big military trucks. That, oh, my God. I mean, and I felt it drop into the ruts. I felt the pumpings hit the ground. And at that moment, you are done. Game over. Pack your shit and go home. I also found out another thing, and this one, now this one applies to the gentleman. If you go out mudding, and if you stick your vehicle in the mud and you are forced to walk out in some places you might screw up and step in a rut that's knee-deep, do not have your wife and her new car at the other end of the mud trail waiting to pick you up. You are leaving naked.
You're not getting in my car like that.
What do you want me to do? If I had many clothes, I ain't getting in my car. Oh, shit. Okay.
Out of the skivvies.
Well, that's a whole other story we won't get into.
Well,
all right.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to see if we could move into some of the more educational aspects versus, you know, man hour. But then again, man hour is kind of fun. I did also learn another thing. When the driver of the vehicle that is mudding, well, okay, I've got documentation. When the driver of the vehicle is insane, put a seatbelt on. I wadded my poor passenger up like a cinnamon bun by the time we were done. Hey, what can I say? A couple of feet in the air and 30 mile an hour. Your ass better be strapped down or you're going to do like everything in the bed of the truck and fly around like a BB in a beer can.
Yeah,
it was
I kind of did that to my buddy Mark that I work with. Not Mark that you know, Mark that I actually work with, because he was out there with his dirt bike and stuff. But I do want to also give a condolences to our dear friend Bree.
Yes,
I don't know
definitely.
If you saw that or not.
Yes, I did.
So,
we have a very dear friend, Bree, that is in North Dakota that lost her grandfather today. My deepest sympathies, darling. Just know that Matt and I both love you. We're here if you need us. Give us a call. Shoot me a text. You got both our numbers. But our deepest condolences, darling.
Yes, I definitely agree. I mean, you know, for what that girl's been through, man, she's a trooper and I love her and there's nothing I wouldn't do for her.
And as well, our buddy Howard over at All Seeing Paranormal Society sends their condolences as well, sweetheart. So all of us are thinking of you. Yeah, she lost her other grandpa. I guess it's been just about a year now, hasn't it?
I think a little bit less than that.
Yeah, she's had a lot of them in a very short term. And I'll tell you, she is an absolute trooper. Absolute sweetheart as well. She's actually been on with us, and I'm not sure. I think they're still in the works trying to get it all figured out for Friday evening show right here on the same network. But Bree is probably going to be hosting a program here also.
Yeah, and I completely understand the hiatus with everything that's been going on with the family and all that stuff. And, you know, that wouldn't be the first thing on my mind, that's for sure.
Well, most definitely not. Yeah, I'm not thinking that would be one of the things I would care about at this point would be the radio program.
No.
So
we're going to get into it?
I'm ready whenever you are, brother. You want to dive right into the paranormal and start talking about the etiquette and so forth? It sure as hell needs to be talked about.
Yes, I definitely agree. There's been a lot of stuff that I and Dennis, I know you have encountered and discussions that we've been involved in and all that. And honestly, everybody, we're not and never have been and never will be shit talkers. We're not saying that you know, everything that you're doing is wrong or anything like that. But what I have been seeing is that nobody is saying what individuals are doing is, like, you know, you may want to kind of reconsider, you may want to watch yourself or, you know, something like that, and trying to help anybody out with this. Then
quit beating the bush before I speak up.
there's not a single time that Dennis and I are going to point fingers to use anybody as an example or anything like that, but I have been noticing a lot of things as far as etiquette, candor, and a bunch of other just what in the fuck are you thinking moments that have been popping up a lot more recently.
So, watching my news feed, one thing that I want to point out to all of the investigative teams that are out there, if you have a client calling you that is already scared shitless, if you don't know what you're doing, admit that. Don't go in and make shit worse to where somebody else has to go in and piss out the fire that you have created through stupidity, through lack of education, through lack of knowledge, through lack of experience, through lack of anything other than I'm going to make a name for myself and I'm going to get a show. Yes, I realize we have all this. Redneck seems to be the greatest thing on TV right now. Every damn program you turn to is about rednecks right now. You're probably not going to get a show, even if you are a redneck, because it takes a long time doing something to get a show. So if you're going to go in and you're going to sensationalize the hell out of everything and terrify the homeowner, client, whatever you choose to call them, stay the hell out and leave it to somebody like CPR or somebody to all seeing, somebody that has done this shit, knows what they're doing, isn't going to go in and just throw gasoline on the fire. If you don't know what the hell you're doing, call for help. Sorry, that ends my rant.
I definitely agree, and you know what, there's one thing I disagree with for everybody out there listening, and I mean, for saying, and Dennis saying that, oh, you know what, you're a hillbilly, you're not going to get a show and all that kind of stuff. Well, Dennis, do you have a show?
I have a TV program?
No, but you have a show that you're on right now.
Well, no,
you're
I'm
a hillbilly.
Talking a TV show. That seems, well, I'm written at. I ain't no hillbilly, damn it. I is edumacated and I is a hill William. Jackass.
It was a shot in the dark stab, but I had to at least take it. But no, and you know what? I'll even downgrade that a little bit in the fact of it doesn't. You know, Dennis and I spend a lot of time along with the rest of our team to make sure that everything is done in a proper manner as far as what helps somebody out. Like, you know, anonymity is one of the first things. And if you're going into somebody's house and then you're posting this stuff online, oh, check out the CVP, I got a private residence, or it's like, well, that's for your own file to talk to this other person about. If you compare it to something like where you see on Ghost Hunters or you know, Ghost Adventures really doesn't do private, but Paranormal State or any of the shows that were on before that used to go into private residence, do you understand the disclaimers and the contracts that have to be signed? Apparently
for
not.
For them to agree to have everything aired.
Exactly. So,
secondly, when you go in to somebody's home and they feel that they have a haunting going on, they feel that they have spirit presence, if they tell you, I think it's my grandma, my aunts, my uncle,
my daddy, don't ever let me hear about you doing some bullshit like the team did that I got wind of, going, come on, bitch, do something. Prove to us you're here. Because I will personally put you on blast. And I guarantee you, between all the friends that I have, I can probably put it before 250,000 people by daylight. I got a conversation or got a phone call regarding a team that went in. The homeowner thought perhaps it was her mother who had passed. When the team left, she said she was in tears because the way they had just spoken to what she believed was the spirit of her mother. Come on, we know you're here, bitch. Come out and do something. If I got to piss you off to make you come out, make you do something, well, then that's what I'll do. Well, hey, jackass, while you're trying to provoke the spirit into doing something, you're insulting the client's mother. Pull your head out of your ass.
Well, you're not just insulting the client's mother, you're insulting the client, you're insulting the client's family. You're insulting...
Well, the idea was you're insulting the client's mother.
Yeah.
Which
no.
Kind of
I just
what I'm saying.
But I mean, the damage with that. Well, you also got to understand the trickle down effect of that. If that team or whatever was the first team that has ever been called in, and the people were kind of reluctant in the first place, or are emotional because they had lost their mother and husband or wife or male, female, it doesn't matter. If they had lost their mother, and that's the first thing of, hey, I've had, you know, stuff move, and I kind of think it's my mom, and I'd like to talk to her. Do you think that woman is ever going to pick up the phone ever again and try and contact anybody for anything? Most likely not.
Not a chance.
So, it's an extreme. That could be, and I'll put it in perspective this way. That could be the holy grail of what you get as far as paranormal evidence. But if anybody operates in that way, there's never a chance that anything's going to get in there. I'm not saying use a private residence to try and get the Holy Grail. If you do get the Holy Grail, the way that I work, that doesn't matter if it's everything that you would win the $1 million prize for, that stays between myself and the homeowners.
Precisely. Unless you have the homeowner sign off and the homeowner agrees and et cetera. Now, if when Matt or I die and the other one comes out, Matt, here's my unconditional, unlimited, when you see me tap dancing dead across the stage and you catch it on any one of the cameras, air the hell out of that, brother.
If I see you tap dancing live across the stage, I'm going to air the hell out of it.
But, yeah, you have my unconditional, unlimited, here in front of a live radio audience. You have my permission to air it. But, here's the other thought on that, too. Even if you do catch the Holy Grail on video and you get a fantastic EVP session and then you approach production companies and everything with you talking shit like that, even if you do produce fantastic evidence, you're going to be shunned because no production company, no other team, nobody wants to be associated with that. So use a little bit of common sense, courtesy, and compassion. The other thing you have to remember is when you do talk to the spirits, they used to be people. Talk to them like they are still people, because they still are, just on a different plane and in a different form.
And, Dennis, we've had this conversation before. The example I use is, if I walk up to you and say, hey, is anybody here with us? And I'm standing looking at you face to face. Make a noise. Do something. Let me know that you're here. What would your response be mentally? Well, to me,
mentally?
Audibly.
Well, no, to you it would be physically, because I'd kick you in the nuts and go, I'm here. Can you feel me now? Go put the lotion on your skin. But yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. If you walk into a room that I'm standing right there in, and you look me face to face and go, is there anyone here? Dennis, can you talk to us? I want to be like, what the hell is wrong with you, dumbass? I'm standing right here.
So, not saying that this is correct, but, you know, for everybody who watches the shows and all that kind of stuff, and you see the lines of questioning on EVPs, and there's a level of, like, objectiveness that like, they're treated more like an object. You, if you walked into a train station or an airport and just started screaming, hi, my name is Matt. Is there anybody here that wants to talk to me? Do you really think that you'd get a good reception on that? They'd be like, what the fuck is up with this crazy dude?
They'd start calling 911. I think the loony bin's been lost one.
So, just, you know, certain things to keep in mind, and like, I don't know. I'm going to get back into the candor thing momentarily, but, you know, and one thing that has been successful is I've personally changed my complete line of questioning to where, and this is where research comes in. If you designate, and depending on the amount of people that you have in your team, me personally, I have 3. So it's a little bit hard, and no, I'm not mocking Ghost Adventures, by the way, for everybody out there, like, oh, it must be taking that, you know, looking after Ghost Adventures. No, the reason I keep it small is for a reason. I'll get into that later. Too many hands in the pot make the soup taste like shit.
Stay on track. Stay on track, man. Stay on track.
Oh. I'm back. Sorry, ADD. That definitely kicked in.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for, buddy. That's what I'm here for. Somebody's getting on this train.
Not the screeching metal death. Oh, check out this derailment. Yep. All right. Where's my beer? But, hey, Dennis, stay on track.
Oh, sorry.
That's why we compliment each other. But, no, like that. And, all right, where research comes in, this is going to be a two-parter, so shut up, Dennis. Where research comes in is if you check out the property, you do all your due diligence to find out all your information. You can find out names. You can find out all that. Walk in, and this has been working really, really well for me as far as getting stuff, especially in private homes, and especially when it comes down to grandma, grandpa, uncle, you know, aunt, whatever. If you address them directly, like
this in evidence, folks, not jewelry out of the box.
Yes. So, if you are to walk in and do PA session, or you're trying to, you know, communicate via K2 or a trigger object or something, if you address them as you would want to be addressed walking into a room, and you see somebody who you're introduced, like, oh, Dennis, like you talking, like, oh, yeah, hey, Chris, I want you to come over here and meet my friend Matt. And so, oh, hey, how you doing? And interact in a humanistic way makes a huge, huge difference of how quick everything comes. Also, repetition of going back creates familiarity to where you start getting more and more and more and more, which I know that somebody listening completely understands what I'm saying about that. And Dennis, you know who I'm talking about also.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of common sense and well, it's not common sense. It's just that's kind of put to the wayside because there's so much influence with media stuff about how it's done. It's like, oh, well, you know, it seems to work for them. Well, that's not exactly what this field is about. This field is about advancement and trying something different, not in an extreme way, but just trying something a little bit outside the box and thinking. Education, not thinking stupidly. But, hey, you know what? This is a possibility that we have no idea about whatsoever. Let's kind of explore this option that we can repeat. Then you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it. And if you do have a place that is open to your, basically open to your schedule pretty much any time you want, that's a really, really good training ground because there's three things that are happening. One, changing the bad habits that media creates. Two, you are creating familiarity with a spirit, ghost, whatever the hell you want to call it. And three, you're able to adjust and tweak things to kind of see what maybe work a little bit better that you can use and continue with that pattern than the stuff that has been put out there via media of kind of like the protocol of what you have to do. Thing that has really, really been bugging me, and Dennis, I don't even think I told you about this yet. I got a message from somebody that said that asked me if I could do them a favor and give them the standardized test to become a certified paranormal investigator. And I kind of busted up laughing. I'm like, there is no designated test. They're like, oh, well, the head of the team member said if you take this, you know, 6-hour class and then you take this or 6-hour certified paranormal investigator. And I'm like, and I was sitting there and I'm scratching my head, and this is over text message. This isn't even like on a phone call. But I was sitting there for like 5 minutes trying to figure out how to respond to this. I'm like, and I just sent back, I literally, this was my exact message. And I have it up right now. I said, excuse me, earmuffs for the kids. What in the absolute fuck are you talking about? There is no standardized test that is given amongst paranormal investigators to be able to be certified. And then I get a response back saying that they're, oh, well, and then there's another, like, 3-hour one that you have to get certified in to be able to go into private residences. Can you do that one? I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm baffled. Like, what the fuck are people trying to teach people?
Well, here's my question. Is there a cost for
that was the next thing I asked. There was no cost for the class because I was gonna lose my mind if there was.
Wow.
If they said, oh, it's $50 and you have to do this, I was going to lose my mind if they were going to charge people.
Yeah, I mean that's what I was thinking was, you know, okay, well. You know, well, he said if I, you know, it's $250, I can sit through the class and take the test and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I was going to absolutely lose my mind. But I have no idea. You know what? When I started paying attention to the paranormal at 7 years old, which I won't give my exact age, but that was over 3 decades ago.
Four. I'm kidding. Five.
And let's see, this is how we handled that. You know that little picture of a red microphone? And then right beside it is a picture of a little blue microphone that has a cross over it? Don't make me flick it. But...
Don't touch the blue one. I'll take the red pill, sir.
Yeah. But, I mean, when I had my first paranormal experience at 7 years old, my grandfather came to me and told me goodbye after he had passed away. I saw him, heard his voice, I knew it was him. It was right in my face. Then when I was 16 and my brother passed away, and he came to me and literally I felt his breath on the back of my ear and I heard him tell me goodbye. That was my course. From that point on, it became books, it became talking to people, it became studying every single thing I could to understand what is on the other side, the Bible. Even shows like in the 70s when they aired The Exorcist, that was training for me, because most of what the pastor or the minister was doing was reading from the Bible, scripture that tells us about the other side. So if you want a simple six-hour class to be a paranormal investigator, I want to make you a wonderful deal. I am starting to offer a class to be a certified cloud weigher. You can weigh as many clouds as possible. And it's a simple one-time fee. I teach the class, I give the certification, and it's only $200. And you can weigh clouds after that. So, just absolutely infuriates me.
Well, that's what I said. And I would have been more upset if I found out that these people were charging their quote-unquote team members for that kind of stuff. But fortunately, come to find out that they're not.
I'm so damn confused by that.
I can understand. Well, this is the second part of this. I can understand in, like, teaching or sitting down and taking, you know, whether 4 or 6 hours, whatever. I can understand the point of this is our protocol. This is what we want you to follow. And this is how we operate. I can understand teaching people that within the team. But the confusion of convincing somebody that there is a standardized test, like an SAT that you have to take to be an investigator, that portion I don't agree with. And the other information that was given was that there have been people who have sat through this class, got their certification, and have left and gone to other teams, which kind of makes me wonder a little bit about that, too. Like, why would, like, what's happening within the ranks? Like, I'd honestly want to sit through one of those classes to find out what kind of information was given and produced about it. But obviously, I don't know. I didn't even ask because I don't want to know. I didn't ask the team name. But if you're going to do that and say, hey, this is how we operate, this is what we do, and we kind of want you to stick into these guidelines until we get familiar with you, cool, I can understand that. But for everybody out there, no, there is no standardized test. Standardized test is experience and learning and trial and error in a positive way. Not in a, hey, I'm going to try something completely off the wall and grandma that these people called me into their house to try and communicate with. Or my mother or something like that.
Maybe whoever was doing this standardized test idea and the six-hour class and all this crap, maybe he was just trying to keep somebody hoping that they weren't motivated enough to go through all the hoops and bullshit. And maybe it was his, or her, I guess, sneaky way to, try to keep them out. You know what I mean? Maybe that was the idea. If I make it so difficult and such a pain in the ass, instead of going, oh, well, yeah, here's a T-shirt, and you're now a paranormal investigator, you can be one of the other mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging dumbasses we have on our team.
Wow.
Maybe that's what he was trying to do, was keep them out. I know, that wasn't very polite on my part. And to the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging dumbasses, I apologize. I don't mean to offend you. Oh, jeez.
You know,
wait to let the emotions flow there, Dennis.
I have really got to seek counseling about all this shit that I hold in, because sometimes it just poof, explodes right from me, kind of like insanity. You know what I mean? What the hell?
Yeah.
Why would you even believe that there's a six-hour class and there's a standardized test to be a certified paranormal investigator? If somebody came to me and goes, hey, what kind of classes and all do I need to take, and you know, how much is it, and what kind of tests do I need to take to join your team and be a certified paranormal investigator, I would have looked at them and went, well, the first thing you need to take is a sanity test, because you've obviously lost your flipping mind. The second thing you need to take is a test on direction. How well can you get the hell out of my face right now? That would be pretty much the way it would go. Yeah. Would they ever make it on my team? Oh, no. No. Nope.
Well, that's the, and that's where maybe I'm conveying it wrong, is somebody just trying to get into the paranormal and get onto a team that has never been involved with it before, and just really wants to know more information and all that stuff. You know, I mean, they could very well be a phenomenal stand-up, you know, investigator. Like, for example, look at Ghost Hunters Academy that Steve Gonsalves and Dave Tango ran.
Yeah, but that wasn't truly a academy. It wasn't like they had a standard, like, you know, I don't know. And Ross is, by the way, welcome. Thanks for joining us again this week, Ross. Again this week, because he was here Monday. But he's saying that the metaphysical classes have been online forever. Well, yeah. The trouble is, you don't know
who's running them.
Who the hell is teaching them? You know, what is their qualification? What is their knowledge? And if they tell you that they're in, you'll love this one, Matt. You ready? Bite your tongue for a moment. If they tell you that they are an expert in this field, I want you to do one thing. Snap the shit out of them. Go ahead, Matt. Let it out. Let it out, Matt.
All right. That is the one taboo word that even, and Dennis, you and I can vouch for this, talking to everybody that I will say firsthand, is talking to Mark and Debbie Constantino. The production companies have labeled them experts. They flat out told us we are not experts. That's how they refer to us. There are no experts in this field. We specialize in certain things, but we, by far, are not experts. And how many other people have told us that?
No, I think the best part of that statement was when she said, they called us world-renowned one time. We've never freaking been around the world. And that was her exact words, and I'm dying laughing.
So, yeah.
So, anybody who tells you they're an expert, they're full of shit. They may specialize in a certain portion of it, or they may have gotten classified as an expert, which you can't blame them for that because that wasn't them saying it. From the horse's mouth is a totally different thing. There are no experts in this field. Even, you know, like, even talking to our good friend David Rowntree, he will say the same thing. I'm not a fucking expert. I'm a student.
Well, I mean, we're all students, no matter how you put it. You know, Howard that's in chat with us runs a team of his own. Matt has his team. I have my team. You know, even Zach, student of this. There's no perfection in a field that we don't even understand yet and don't fully comprehend what the potential is. A college professor understands the potential of mathematics. They have learned through years of classes how to reach the end goal. In a mathematics equation, there is an end goal. And this, we really don't know what the hell the end goal is right now. Is the end goal right now to prove that there is life after death? Is the end goal to prove that some spirits move on, some stay? What is the end goal? We don't really know. So how can you be an expert in something that we don't even know the full parameters of the class? Agreed, Matt?
Yeah, I would 1,000% agree with that.
I'll send that check out right away, buddy.
What?
Well, if you're going to agree with me 1,000%, obviously I got to pay you something because ain't nobody ever fucking agreed with me 1,000% on Jack Swat.
Nobody agrees with you 100% with me. So, all right. I'm going to run through a very, very quick rundown of why CPR dentist is CPR dentist. So, I met Dennis.
Because I'm awesome.
Yeah. Well, I met Dennis in Richmond before, like, a couple of years ago now. And because of his conduct and his candor and everything else, I actually trusted him enough to say that he was with a different team and they were focused more on, quote unquote, trying to get a show. And, again, not talking shit because I love everybody who you were working with before. But that wasn't the direction that you wanted to go at all. You're like, man, I just want to get out there and investigate. And then we started talking about it. And then we started talking about how you investigate. Then we started talking about being long, long conversation. And I said, I'm like, well, when I started CPR, which is Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers, I never thought of branching out to where it's like, well, why don't you start your own team and I'll just hook you up with the people that I currently know and we'll go from there and see how it takes off. And that's exactly what happened. And, I mean, shit, between the people that you talk to, the people that I talk to, the people we both talk to, the people that if I talk to somebody, you talk to them and all that stuff, I trust Dennis and his judgments. I don't know why, But I do. Yeah, I do know why. Because there is not anybody who I've come across besides Dennis, well, at that time, that I would say, hey, you know what? You need a home? You need something to start on your own? I trust you, and I will back you 1,000%, 10,000%, 1,000,000%. And I do. Dennis is probably one of the most stand-up, fucking awesome investigators that I have ever come across with the correct objective, and I hope his head is actually able to fit in his house now. But, no, there's nothing that I wouldn't do or back him up if he says, hey, I got this problem, I got this going on, what's your opinion of it? And there's been times that we've gone head-to-head in a good way, but we will never bullshit anybody. And that's one thing with you, man, is, like, you're never going to bullshit me, I'm never going to bullshit you, except for in a joking manner. And if you got something you need help on, there ain't shit that I'm not going to do to get to the bottom of it and get you, you know, any answer that I could possibly have, or, hey, why don't you approach it in this way? And you're not combative about it. Oh, well, yeah, I'll check it out, or I've already tried that. So what else do you think?
Well, I definitely appreciate that. I'm trying to sit here now and figure out whether I need to open the windows or the door to get my head somewhere else to swell to. But whoever it was you were talking at the beginning of that, or talking about at the beginning of that, because I went to the bathroom, he sounds pretty fucking awesome, man. You got to make sure to keep that one around.
Yeah, well. You know, for your ego, I'm going to say this. Yeah, it was you.
No. Oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, you make me blush. Well, yeah, Nikki. Now, Matt, just to give you a heads up, we got Nikki Skinner here in the room with us. And apparently she's sitting back right now with, well, I'm not sure who all she's sitting there with. I know Josh is one of them from, I'm going to have to go back and look, otherwise I'm going to sound like a dumbass when I screw this up.
No.
Dead Air Paranormal and, or, wait, stop, Living Dead Paranormal, sorry. She has Rocky and Josh Foreman. Yeah, see, I got it right, Nikki, calm down. But, yeah, it's Rocky and Josh from Living Dead Paranormal. Now, I'm trying to get a schedule with them so I can get them on the show. But Josh asked her earlier, can we cuss? She said, don't think so. I guess I was wrong. Yes, you were wrong. Now, on Monday nights, we're a little more wide open. Tonight is based on, and by the way, Living Dead Paranormal is out of Greenville, Ohio. But tonight we're focused on some of the things that have really pissed us off in what we've seen on our news feeds lately as far as teams going in and just doing dumb shit and making the situation even worse due to lack of training, lack of knowledge, lack of concern, lack of humanity, lack of truth, candor. I can think of 100 reasons why they would do dumb shit and just make things worse. But, Nikki, that's what tonight's show is kind of focused on. So that's why I kind of came a little unleashed. But, yeah, normally Wednesday nights we try to keep it, you know, PG-13, 15. Monday nights PG-35. I can't even believe I can slip in the door on Monday nights.
Yeah, Monday's get a little nuts, but
I just keep handing them that fake ID, and they keep letting me in for that PG-35 show on Mondays, and I'm good with it.
That's because I don't card you.
Who's the error on that one?
Yeah, it's my fault.
No, that's right. The back of your shirt says, I'm a stupid, not security.
Oh, which, you know, I never really did pay attention to your shirt at Parafest. Now I understand why you kept insisting I stayed on your left hand. You son of a bitch. You had an I'm a stupid shirt on, didn't you?
Pretty much the whole weekend. If not, I made it out of masking tape.
That's, you know, I thought you were awful touchy-feely and patting my back a lot. Now I know why. God bless it.
Because you said I'm stupid.
That's
I had the
I'm
stupid. Yeah, yeah. No, it happens.
You know,
cause...
if the shoe fits, slap that Velcro strap across there and wear the damn thing.
Along with a very cushy helmet.
Yes. I like my helmet. Don't make fun of my helmet. I like my helmet. Pretty pink and ain't got sparkles.
Wow. So anyway, back onto this. Now, there's been a lot of stuff that I've seen, and I don't know if any other team has experienced this. Dennis, you know this is going to be extremely vague and for good reason, but there is a private that I'm doing, private residence, not private soldier. Get your minds out of the gutter, asses. But, and... Go ahead, get it out. The words.
Thank God for mute.
What, have a little laughing, coughing fit? But
well, I'm still battling the upper respiratory crap. So yeah, every time I start busting ass laughing, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, well, there is one that is, put it this way, it's a extremely high security clearance due to the inhabitants' work, government employees. Ain't the first time, Dennis, you've worked in your own personal business in government buildings. How hard is that shit to actually go through?
Oh, yeah.
Besides, you know, pretty much giving him your firstborn. I'm still waiting for Jesse to... I think that's why she actually married into the military, was to bypass all of your background security checks.
That might be it. I'm not sure. I know at one time, and this is no joke, at one time I had a red card security clearance. I could go into virtually any base on the East Coast. I actually worked on, what was the name of that place? Anacostia Naval Weapons Station. And I could go in any place I wanted. Live warheads, I could stroll in, didn't matter where. So, yeah, as far as, you know, clearance, yeah, I'm pretty certain I got that covered.
Yeah, well, this is just to go into somebody's home who you've talked to also.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so now you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, now I know what situation you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think hers is another one of those that has been exasperated by jackasses that don't know what they're doing.
Well, no. Nobody's been in there except for phone conversations.
Yeah, and that's
which...
important. And, you know, unless they're a proven psychic, don't take their word for it over the phone. Especially when they're, you know, 2,000 miles away.
Yeah, and what happened to you in that conversation? You got your ass put under the ringer.
Yeah, I got tested. That's a nice way to put it. can he survive my test? And how did I do?
Did pretty damn well.
90-95% accurate reading error?
You know, because of the situation, I had no, like, warning, and you just had to, like, hop into it and figure it out and all that kind of stuff, I'd still give you a 90 on that one.
Okay. I can live with that. Yeah, I mean, I had no heads up. She just started testing me. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly understand people being hesitant. And the more and more that goes on with these jackass teams going out there and doing stupid things, the more and more that's going to happen. And the more I would expect it. And the less I see it happen, the more I wonder why it doesn't.
Dude, you know what we should start? Totally out of the blue, but you know what we should start is a paranormal Angie's list.
Ooh. That'd be kind of cool. What would we call it?
Crazy list.
Let's throw this in the chat. I've got, well, right now I have four names in chat, which we never, hardly ever have anybody in chat with us, really. Most of them are just listening. Howard says he's been thinking about that. So what would we call it? Because we obviously can't call it Angie's List. Matt's List would kind of sound like a little black book, dirty diary thing.
Yeah, no shit, right? I don't want that.
Dennis's
either.
List would be, you know, as soon as you put one out there called Dennis's List, they would start sending out, you know, like Secret Service and shit to protect people. Assuming that, you know, thinking that people need to be in, like, witness protection or something. Oh, my God, they're on Dennis's List. We better get people out there to protect them. Yeah, it's kind of scary. So what would we call it? Fear?
Peers. P-E-E-R-S.
Okay. P-E-E-R-S.
It popped in my head, but I'm trying to think of a, like, what that would actually translate into. I had P-I-E-R-S, but that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. All right, now you're just sucking at this, man. All right, well, let's rely on the chat room. All right, chat room, what do we think? Start throwing out some names here. Ryan? Please proceed to the nearest patient first and pee in a cup. I think you need a drug test, not an ear test. By the way, that was in reference to a chat message I just got. That was random as hell. If you're listening, folks, and you didn't get to see the chat message, yeah, sorry. Sucks to be you. So, all right, well, let's start thinking. If we want to call it Peers List, P-E-E-R-S, I would say,
Paranormal Educated.
Enhanced Educated Research Staff. Now that sounds like bullshit.
No.
It needs to be
suggestions.
Sweet.
No, S is suggestions. P is paranormal. S is suggestions. That makes sense. Research
obviously.
So we need the two E's. Why would you call anything the P list?
It should be the P's list. P-E-A-S. Paranormally Educated and Suggested List. we'll have the peas list.
Yeah. And people are going to look at that and be like, is that a porn site? Oh, peas list. Wait, no, this isn't porn. Yeah, well, you know, let's just call it the Paranormal Golden Shower List. How about that?
No, because usually, well, usually going in and, you know, cleaning up behind everybody, that's when I get peed on.
So that would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, the ones that are worth having are the ones that end up getting pissed on. So, yeah, we're kind of like the golden shower list of the paranormal, I suppose. For some reason, every time I get a, can you come help us? We've had another team out here, and they think we have demonic entities. Right off the bat, I know I'm getting pissed on. It never fails.
Well, you're getting pissed on and pissed off.
Well, mostly pissed off.
Pissed
but,
on.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that is another thing that we'll keep the paranormal Angie's list on the back burner.
That's probably a good place to do that.
Yeah, and this can continue. You can message Dennis, message me with suggestions, or just pop them throughout the show. Something comes up that's clever, cool. But, all right. So Monday, I went to a event that was pretty much designated more towards Bachelor's Grove. Well, it was fully about Bachelor's Grove, but it was kind of a Q&A and a discussion that just turned into a complete melee of free-for-all of people saying what their opinions are. Well, for those of you who don't know who Bachelor's Grove or where Bachelor's Grove is, it's on kind of the south suburbs, southwest suburbs of Chicago. If you've seen the Ghost Adventurer show, yeah, that's Bachelor's Grove. It was around, like, it started a little bit before the turn of the century. Totally, totally different than the state that it sits in now. Well, they've had Satanists come in there and do rituals to where, me personally, I haven't witnessed it, but Mark has been there and found dead chickens. Gravestones are kicked over, graffiti on gravestones. And then you start to get into the woods. Robinson Woods is across the street to where there used to be a group of Satanists back in the 80s and stuff that used to go back there. And then also Bachelor's Grove, they desecrated this whole cemetery. Well, there was a famous photograph that was put out there, and if you Google Bachelor's Grove images, it'll be the first one that pops up, and it's a woman sitting on a tombstone, and depending where you look, the credit goes to Dale Kaczmarek. Well, Dale wasn't the one who captured the photo. Dale was the one working with the woman who still to this day will never come forward and talk to Dale, but is assuming credit for the photo, and that's been a huge mess. But in this sit down in this conversation with Bachelor's Grove, it was Ursula Bielski, Carl Coachman, Mark was there, this guy, Bill, who's extremely, extremely knowledgeable, grew up around the street, or around the corner, down the street from it, and knows it like the back of his hand. Well, I don't know his name, and even if I did, I'm not going to call him out on it. But there was a gentleman that was there that was talking about his experiences at Bachelor's Grove, to where everything was demonic. There are so many demons in there that there should not be a human soul that should walk back in there again. And be prepared to be attacked. Be prepared to, like, have basically all your children be murdered in front of your face by somebody you can't see. Like, that was the portrayal of what he was giving about this beautiful and gorgeous cemetery. It's desecrated, but through the Bachelor's Grove Revival Act and everything, to where all of us have been working really, really hard, raising money, contributing our time, our labor, all that kind of stuff to clean it up and give the people that are buried there the burial that they deserve. And Dennis, I know you can relate with that to one that you have in Virginia.
Yeah, I've got one. Hell, I guess it's 6-8 minutes down the road. But just, it's been abandoned.
Yeah, well, has it been vandalized and all that kind of stuff too, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they actually have a mausoleum there with, you know, like when you do a mausoleum, you do like a little cinder block building or concrete building, and then you have a gate into it, and then you have, well, in this particular one, there are 6 slots for caskets, 4 of which are used, and all 4 have been broken into. They actually cinder block the gate opening shut. Once you get done, you know, your family is done utilizing that building, and no more are going in it, then they'll cinder block the building shut. And some piece of shit broke open the cinder block, and the caskets have been raided. You know, just absolute pathetic. Just turns my stomach.
Yeah, definitely does happen. But so this individual was sitting there saying that he has gotten so many gruff voices and knows so much about it with all the Satanists that were there that everything has to be a demon. Well, I couldn't sit there anymore. And the amount of time, and be quiet, the amount of times that I've been there and the amount of stuff that I've done there and been there at dawn, been there at dusk, been there helping out, all that stuff, investigation stuff that I've done there. That's reading books about, you know, Satanists and stuff that have been out there, to where you automatically, or people automatically assume it's demonic activity. Well, that doesn't mean shit. Just because there's negative activity and they're trying to conjure things, doesn't mean that it actually comes through. But knowing that and having that knowledge, and then hearing a gruff voice, which, you know what, maybe that's the only source of medium that that person could come through, and it could be an innocent child saying, you know, thank you for talking to me, I want to play ball, but you hear it as, I want rah, rah, and you're like, oh, that's a demon. No, fuck that. Dennis, how many people can we call on hand that'll say, you know what, demons are so few and far between, just because it's a gruff voice does not mean that it's a demon.
Right. I mean, now, perhaps if it's, you know, stating that it wants to skin you alive and Satan is my master, then you can assume it's probably a demon. But otherwise,
oh, I mean,
no, it's a gruff voice.
You can even go back and play that one from Jody if you want right now.
You want me to?
Yeah.
Because even that one, I don't think is demonic.
No, I don't
honestly,
either. I think it's just an asshole.
Yeah. And let's see, that one, I got to find out what it's under because I forgot it again. Where was that one at? I got it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think all it was, you know, well, I think Bishop Christina Reiki said it best when she said, if they were an asshole in life, we're going to be an asshole in death. And that's just the way it is. You know, and, you know, just like the one that constantly calls me an effer at my location, I'm willing to bet he was an asshole in life. He's still an asshole in death. And, well, okay, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to be able to fix that. But, you know, every time I go in there, I mean, he's choked me. I've got an EVP where he is telling someone to choke me.
And asking if you want to fight.
Yeah, want to fight, though. That's cool as hell. That's a great one.
No, that is a really good one.
I want to fight.
But, yeah, but it doesn't mean that it's a demon. But there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people out there who would say, "Oh no, that's demonic." And the problem is they're doing it in private residences, to where people who don't spend the time for education, they're calling because they need help. And then, oh, you have a demon in your house. Well, what the fuck would that do to your kids? What would that do to you?
To me? Oh, we don't want to ask that.
No.
Game on.
That was asking in general, not direct.
Oh, not me specific. Okay. But
no.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're 100% right. Unless you are a trained demonologist, don't be throwing the demon word around. I don't care what the EVP sounds like.
It's even a stretch, too, because how can you be a demonologist when you can't, in the lab, study demons and see how they act? You can, you know, demonic specialists would make more sense. And, yeah, you know what, there are people who are demonologists and specialize in exorcisms and shit like that, and I can't call them an exorcist expert because they're not, but they specialize in that, and that's in their field of study.
They've studied long, hard years, I don't know. But I do have this one loaded up. And, Nikki, simply because I have you listening, I'll give you a heads up on this. This was a spirit box session done at Farrar School. Jody Parks, Megan Campbell, and I'm not sure who else was present, running spirit box. It's 26 seconds long. And I want you to make note of, well, maybe this part's not for you. I know you know what to listen to. But make note of the silence, ladies and gentlemen, and during the speech in this, the way that a spirit box works, it constantly scans through channels. My understanding is they had this one on its highest sweep rate, so it's scanning through about 7 channels per second. If you remember the old AM/FM radio where you turn the knob and you watch the little red arm go across from 88.7 to 107.7, you're going to clear 7 channels per second. That means you're spinning that knob really fast, and that's how fast these spirit boxes function. So to be able to get multiple words tagged together back-to-back is virtually impossible, unless something else is altering it. But
this is a shack hack. This is an SP7 where you can adjust the sweep rate. Once you make the modification to it, it is It's 6.7 channels per second. Yes, I've done the math on it. So it's just under seven channels per second. And
so needless to say, it's running through channels rapid as shit.
But so listen, like when you go to the SD7, it's 0.034 seconds per channel on the highest sweep rate.
So 0.034 seconds. That's pretty damn quick. And what is it
that's
on the Shack Hack when it's highest sweep rate?
On that, it's per channel, or per channel
yeah,
it
per
comes
channel.
Out to per channel it comes out to like 0.097 or something like, or no, 0.0.
So less than 1 second per channel.
Yeah.
And no matter what, it moves on to the next one. It's programmed not to lock onto a channel, folks. It will just keep scanning.
Yeah.
So, all right, here is a Spirit Box session that absolutely blew me away and gave me goosebumps. Huge.
Do the other men here bother you?
And we will skin you alive.
Oh!
That one still just leaves me speechless.
I was right. Per channel is 0.97, so it's just under 1 second per channel. But if you go through that audio and count 1 1,000, 2 1,000, 3, it's like almost 2.5 seconds of "I will skin you alive."
Yeah, and it is the same voice the whole way. And everything went dead silent. For it to go dead silent is the part that I really am just baffled by, other than the fact that it has that much power that it was able to do that. I'm going to play it again, simply because now that you've heard it one time, you know, most EVPs I have to listen to twice, most Spirit Box sessions I have to listen to at least twice. Everything is at least twice, just to make sure.
Real quick. Also, I personally have modified Shack Hacks between Mark and I in 6 different ways. This one was just the standard, like clip the, you open it up and there's 2 boards and you clip the one thing and then it cuts out when you click scan. That's all that was modified. We've modified antenna. We've modified all that stuff. It was the simple modification of what you can buy on eBay that is just the sweep rate. That was it. I opened the thing up. I looked at it. That was it. So I will stand behind this as being 1,000% legit, that she didn't place anything in it, didn't trigger anything, didn't have anything behind it whatsoever.
Settle down, Beavis.
I'm sorry, wrong one. Settle down, Beavis.
Frick. Play the damn clip again.
Do the other men here bother you?
And I stopped the rest of it, but that one's just absolutely amazing to me. It truly is.
Why was he British?
He was British.
I was skinning you alive. Like it sounded kind of. It didn't sound like the janitor from that school that molested all those children.
Well, actually, I think the janitor at Farrar School was a foreigner. So it's very possible that there's no telling who in the hell it was. They, you know, anytime. Now, see, here's my belief in all honesty. Right? I live in a fairly, like, rural area. You know, I'm outside the city, but I'm in a neighborhood. But I've got deer running through my yard. I would not unlock and open my door wide open and just go, anybody that wants to come in, come in. To me, a Ouija board is the same thing. To me, a spirit box is the same thing. The difference between me doing that with a spirit box and, you know, like Jody Parks and, you know, Megan and whoever else was there, they're experienced with this. They can kind of control what goes on afterwards. My fear is a lot of these, and I referenced them in this manner earlier, I'll do it again, these mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, dumbass teams that don't really know what they're doing, have never done research, have never done actual educating themselves, they will go buy an SB7, or if they get lucky and get a shack hack, they'll turn that on, and that's just an open invitation to the spirits to come into our world. You don't know who the hell's coming in. I don't know very many people that would willingly put a sign out that said, please come in and talk to me, in their front yard and leave their door standing wide open. To me, a Ouija board and a spirit box are the same thing. Now, I would put a sign in my front yard and leave my door open, but then again, I'm a huge proponent of firearms.
They would be more scared of coming into my house.
Yeah, they'd be more scared coming into my house than I would be them, you know, whatever. But, yeah.
Well, here's, you know, for everybody who hasn't been listening the whole time, and maybe just tuning in or tuning in a couple minutes ago and be like, oh, these guys are talking shit. That's not the case at all.
No, what we're doing is
just put a little more background, a little more research, a little more whatever into what you're doing.
Educate yourself as much as you can. Remember, you're playing with people's lives. You may be communicating with people's loved ones. You know, if little Johnny can't sleep in his room now and they've called you in to figure out why little Johnny can't sleep in his room, then you make it so little Johnny's mom and dad can't sleep in their own room, you've screwed up. You did something wrong that needs to be addressed.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
Dennis couldn't sleep all night.
Oops.
I knew you had to throw that one in there.
Oh, eventually. I mean, it's so damn funny. It's so damn funny. And especially the point where I fell off the damn bed at the end of it.
Yes. And for a recap, that was me. And, what? Maybe 2-3 hours sleep.
And half a bottle of Tops.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that. The spirits were definitely alive in that room.
Yes, very, very strong spirits.
Jack Daniels joined us. Vox Vodka joined us.
Coors Light joined us.
Yeah, lack of sleep also joined us.
And I'm not sure what the hell Grant and Dave put in front of you.
That was Patron.
Ah, well, that answers a shit ton there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what a night it's been.
Yes,
so,
Fox, me. So, in a quick recap, I did get a text from Jason Musgrove saying that he's still stuck at work, which is why he couldn't call in, but he will on a further show. So,
yeah.
Something we have coming in the works, yes, he will be joining us and putting his two cents in about this too, because it was something that he definitely wanted to talk about, but to put it bluntly like he did, these fuckers still have me at work, and I apologize, and we'll reschedule. So, it happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, there have been nights that, you know, I've still been out working, and, you know, I have the luxury that I can throw an earbud in and walk around and do whatever it is that I need to do and still do the program. Not everybody has that luxury.
Yeah.
But how many times have I actually called in from the road and done the program?
No. I don't have that many fingers. I can't count that high.
You only have one finger that's important. Here, I'll give it to you. Oh, that was a good one. I like that one. Yeah, I'm going to have to write that one down. You only have one. Never mind. I'm not going to write it right now. I'll write it later. Now, all right. Well, there's a question in chat. By the way, Matt, we have to get you in chat. Ross says that it should be mandated that you are in chat. But how many people died in Bachelor's Grove that you know of with your research? Now, I'll give a...
Let me cut you off there. How many grave sites are there, or...
Well, and this is what I'm going to ask. Ross, can you clarify how many people died while in Bachelor's Grove? Because Bachelor's Grove is a cemetery. Everybody that is in Bachelor's Grove died. So, well, we hope. Well, no, definitely. Because even if they were buried, they died. Even the ones that, you know, the mafia suspected of tying bricks to and chucking in the pond died. But it's countless. But, yeah, it's a cemetery. Everyone that's in there died. Now, how many were, like, killed in the cemetery? Or how many lives were taken in the cemetery? It's a notorious mafia, well, suspected. And for those that are listening that are mafia, it is a suspected mafia body drop. That's probably a countless number. There's no way to define that. Care to clarify on that one, Matt?
Well, I can't until I know the official question.
Died, not buried. Sorry, I forgot to give you the other part because I forgot you don't have chat.
Yeah, well, and Ross, I do apologize, and everybody else, I apologize for not being in chat. I have been having major laptop issues to where I, one, need to buy a new one because my motherboard crashed, and well, that's all personal stuff. No, Bachelor's Grove, if you actually Google it, it will show you the grave sites that are in there, which I did just now because I believe it's right around the 90 or 100 range. But how many people were actually dumped there and killed and murdered, that I mean, there's no that I've been able to find of an actual true number, and who knows? I mean, the thing with Bachelor's Grove is there's a river that runs through the center of it. So if somebody was dumped in the river, they may end up, you know, 5, 6, 7 miles, you know, down the river before their actual body is found. And like Dennis said, being a dumping ground for the mafia.
Suspected. We don't want to piss off the mafia.
Well, I don't assume that it wasn't our show.
You never know.
This is true. But no, I honestly, I can't answer that with a number. The ones that have been found within the grounds of Bachelor's Grove, like if the current wasn't flowing high or anything like that, that's a few dozen. So they could have been dumped in Robinson Woods past under Archer Avenue, or not Archer, 135th. They could have passed under that in the bridge and ended up there. It's so hard to count.
Yeah, it's...
But,
you know, that's like asking how many people were dumped in the Chicago River, you know, during the time of, you know, mafia rule, or how
death
many were allegedly, yes, dumped in the Chicago River.
No, but death by spirit interaction is zero as far as I know.
But, yeah, I mean, on the overall, that place is just strange. It's a cemetery that's actually surrounded by Clark County Parks and Recreation.
Cook County.
But it's privately owned, correct?
It's Cook County, and it was privately owned up until recently. And now Cook County owns it, which is why the Sheriff's Department patrols it. Let me see if I can find... Dude, this, you want to talk about the one of the creepiest photos I've ever seen was this weekend, which is courtesy of Carl and Ursula of the Fulton family, which the Fulton family owned. If you're walking down the path and you make your first left, on the first thing that would look like there was a house there, you come up on a foundation, which was the foundation of the Fulton family's house. Well, the Fulton family owned a ton of that property. It used to be all farm field. And now it's all overgrown forest and everything. Like, Ghost Adventures episode, Dennis, you'll understand this. You know where the ball of light was bouncing around in the forest?
Right, out in the woods.
It's 6 miles till the next road through the forest.
Yeah, well, they were saying it was like a mile and a half, but they also had a deputy parked almost on that same exact line. So
yeah.
Now, keep in mind, I've never been to Bachelor's Grove. I have done simply because you and Ursula and, you know, so many other people that I interact with so often talk about it so often. I have done a buttload of reading on it and everything else. So, but to actually be able to say that, I don't know, but I'll take your word that it's 6 miles. But, I mean, even if it was a mile and a half, if I start traipsing through the woods with a flashlight and I'm even just a couple of hundred feet away from a deputy, Cook County deputy surrounded the property while it was being investigated by Ghost Adventures. I believe they had either 4 or 6 deputies surrounding the property.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain I would have had a conversation with one of them before y'all ever saw my light. So, but, I mean, it has notoriously for years been known to have the little balls of light floating around for no apparent purpose. So, you know, that falls right into the legend.
But yeah, well, the Fulton family, and I have this here right now, which I know the two owners, and I'm waiting for the full story to pull up, but the Fulton family owned a major part of the Bachelor's Grove Woods, Robinson Woods, all that kind of stuff. It was John and Jane Fulton. And why is this taking so long? But they did emigrate. They were immigrants. And I believe that they were either Czechoslovakian or something like that, if I remember right. Ireland. So they from what they owned was about 80 acres of the property. They only paid $200 for it. And John Fulton died in 1883, and his wife died in 1897. I'm looking for this picture because I believe that it was found online. But, dude, it's, you look at the Fulton family, and you would swear that they, like, right before the photo was taken, they just saw ghosts. Like, it was, their eyes are huge, they're emaciated, like, it's a creepy, creepy-ass photo.
Yeah, and those are wonderful to get, you know, on a location like that, when you can, So the forest is also the conduit, or was for the Satanist, the woman sitting on the gravestone. Well, I'm trying to answer Ross's questions here in chat. The Satanists were actually setting up in the cemetery. They were doing rituals right between the headstones and in the actual cemetery itself, not out in the woods. And as far as the woman sitting on the gravestone, she was actually photographed sitting, what is it, the back right corner, I think, as you enter through. As you know, most older cemeteries, and Bachelor's Grove is one of them, that has the wrought iron name of it above, kind of like an archway that you walk through. As you walk through the archway, it's in the back right corner. And that's where she was photographed. Now, keep in mind, this whole cemetery has chain link around it. But if you actually look at that photograph of the woman sitting on the headstone, you can actually see full details behind her. So,
yeah, that photo was taken by Jude Huffeld, which... She's never come forward, and that's where, like, on the investigation of what it was Dale Kaczmarek, who was the one that, like, it was one of his walk-arounds and walkthroughs that were, you know, it happened during that time. And it's honestly one of the most controversial photos that anybody has come across that has to do with Bachelor's Grove. So all of us have tried to, you know, put proof behind it, put, like, any sort of, you know, closure on reasonable doubt. And without going to the source, you really can't do that. So, whoever holds the negatives to it, which has been her and Dale, apparently, it's been just, like, there is no answer to that question. photo is. So, Dennis, I know that you know Mr. Len Dorman.
Sure.
Who has spent more time out there than most of the people that I know, including everybody else that I know who's been working on this project. But Len is not one to leave a stone unturned, nor is Ursula. That's why they had a full exhibit on Monday, which was phenomenal. And, Ross, I'll get as much information as I can about it. The Fulton family has a huge, huge influence as far as the activity and all that goes. But, hey, we got just under a minute and a half left, so I just want to say thank you for everybody listening. Jason, brother, I understand you're working late, couldn't call in or reschedule. Dennis, love you, man. It's definitely been a great show. Secondly, we have never talked shit and won't talk shit about anybody. But if you want to say your piece, man, go ahead.
Yeah, by all means. If it seemed like I was talking shit when I referenced the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging teams, life's a bitch. If you feel that you fit in that category, well, maybe you do. I don't apologize for anything. If you make it worse for somebody else in this life, then, well, perhaps you shouldn't have. So I won't apologize for referencing mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging teams that aren't educated. If that's the type of investigations that you want to do and you want to put, you know, Jane and John Doe or whoever your client is on the absolute edge of their seat, absolute terror, that's your problem as a team. But folks, do me a huge favor. Make sure to check with us on Monday night. We'll be doing Full Spectrum Radio Unleashed. Catch Matt and I, CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, both on Facebook. You can also catch us at Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers, both at Facebook and the .com. There you go.
And we're an archive.
Yay!
You know what I noticed about Blog Talk is they say, oh, 10 seconds. But they never say 2, 1, and then bring it to archive. It's like, you have to mentally count down 10 seconds while you're trying to talk, and it's like, can I get a heads up here? What the fuck? It is what it is. So, on to the moth-breathing, knuckle-dragging investigators. Dennis, you there?
Oh. Yes, I somehow touched the damn mute on my phone. I don't know how, but yeah.
The other 804 person.
That would be Terry. She's tuned in listening so she can catch the rest of this crazy shit that you don't get when you're listening to us on air and it goes into archive. Hi, Terry. Thanks for joining us. But, yeah. So, here. I'll label it on the board. Just so you know.
No, I just happened to look at the board and I was like, oh, I don't know if it was, you know, one of the other paranormal teams that were calling in to continue. But for everybody still listening to Archive, yeah, it might have come across a little bit opinionated and all that stuff, but you have to understand that if you're going to get pissed about it, it's because it's shit that we have to deal with because of what you've done. So,
yeah. And
for anybody who doesn't
understand it, I wouldn't
have gone as far to say knuckle-dragging mouth breathers, but I don't know if you're picturing a fucking ape in your head or what, but
If I've got to go in and fix somebody else's mess because they didn't pay attention and they didn't learn and educate themselves and they've made somebody else's life miserable, yeah, they're, as far as I'm concerned, they're a mouth-breathing knuckle-dragger.
Why does a out-of-shape Neanderthal be the first thing to pop in your head is what I'm trying to wrap my head around.
Because they're not real brilliant.
Well, I know some not real bright Finn people.
Some not real bright what?
Finn people. That don't have to be out of shape mouth breathers.
Well, I didn't say they were out of shape, did I? I just said knuckle dragging.
But you said mouth breathers. Which,
yes.
All right. Let's break this down. If you were to classify somebody as a mouth breather, what's the picture you get in your head?
I'm trying to think of a movie character. Bear with me. Terry, feel free to step in and say something here.
Or
Terry,
don't.
Feel free to step in and have my back on this one. Terry.
No,
Terry,
he's there.
Hi.
Hi, Terry. You're on the air.
How are you?
Just wonderful. Welcome to the show.
Dennis
you
is
love
trying
that?
To find the... Dennis is trying to find the jack to get out from underneath the lowrider bus. I just threw him under.
Yeah, I want to be in his shoes right now.
No, mouth breather, the first thing that I picture is a true Neanderthal where, you know, if you look at the origin of man, you have like the squashed head, you have the sinus cavities not working, et cetera, et cetera. That's a true mouth breather to me.
They were actually
as far
highly
as knuckle
athletic,
dragging,
man.
If you look at the origin of man, all the way back through evolution, you see where they walked all hunched over and they dragged their damn knuckles. They haven't progressed into modern day. They haven't come to a, Homo erectus.
Who has the volume up?
Terry does, with her speakers going in the background.
No,
Terry's
I don't.
Fault.
I'm not
Terry's
on speaker
fault.
Tonight.
Oh, damn it. I'm going to blame you anyway. You know why?
Because I
But yeah, I don't know. I assimilate stupid, I guess, with just early caveman. You know, they're not quite educated. They haven't caught up to shit. And that's what I picture the teams that are going in and causing this, all of this damn BS with, well, oh, you got a demon in your house. Well, no, you don't. You probably just have a gruff-voiced old individual that's kind of cranky.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, now, if I come into your home and I have all this fancy equipment, the first thing that you're going to think is, I know what I'm doing. I've bought all this, or he knows what he's doing. He's bought all this equipment. He wouldn't buy all that for nothing. Took
yeah,
your vehicle to a mechanic, and he has $100,000 worth of tools, you're going to assume he knows what the hell he's doing. Simply because he's got $100,000 worth of tools, why would he buy all this shit if he doesn't know what he's doing?
Yeah, but how many tools does that mechanic actually use or know how to use?
Well,
exactly.
You know, the whole thing is you get these promotional TV shows. It's happened with House Flippers. It's happened with The Paranormal. It's happened anything where they make these shows out of. People are going to say, ooh, I think I might be able to do that, and not think about, you know, they talk about a little knowledge is dangerous, and these people have very little knowledge. And they run right in and go, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to impress because I can talk a lot of bullshit, and maybe I'll get myself a TV show on this, and this will be cool. Doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. It matters if I get what I want out of the end because society, and we believe that we should get anything that we go for. And so they will go in not caring about whose life they disrupt or whose life they ruin or anything. And they will just jump in there trying to get what they want and not knowing what they're doing.
It's a valid point. And that's the part that scares me. Matt, how many calls have you gotten from that woman this week? And last week, that had issues in her home. She knows there's an issue. All right. Shit's happening. But she doesn't know who to turn to.
And she was referred to me by one of her friends who's not even near the same zip code.
Yeah,
but,
and now imagine if her friend had suggested one of the, you know, dumbass teams to her. How much worse would it appear?
Well, I also, that's a special case, though, but yeah, I definitely call the term boo-fucker. I love
boo
that
fucker.
Term. Oh, yeah. Boo fucker.
Boo.
Just
fucker.
Boo. Yeah. People going out to look scared or to get scared. And it's a spirit that will say, boo fucker, because you ain't worth my time.
Yeah. And that's part of the problem that I have.
Yes. Dennis?
Hello? Terry. I think we lost Dennis.
Yeah, it happens. I heard
I'm
that's
back.
The problem I have with, and that was it.
Yeah, I'm back. I hate this damn dumbass phone. It's just, I just hate it. Just all of a sudden, it's like, okay, I guess I'm done talking. Wait, and I'm back. Oh, wait, no, there, no, wait, no. Oh, shit, I don't know. I need a carrier pigeon. They're a hell of a lot more reliable than America's most reliable network.
They'll work, though.
But hey, Matt, guess who joined us?
What?
Guess who joined us?
Who's that?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
Another beautiful night.
Still has no clue.
It's Howie.
Hey, what's going on, Howie?
Good one. It's a good one. It's a good one.
He still has no clue.
I don't know.
Matt Howard. Howard, Matt.
Matt,
yeah,
right,
no, I know who he is. I talked to him.
He's like,
briefly, but yeah.
Okay, wait, who's Howard?
Oh, by the way,
one more
Terry,
person here.
Terry, this is Howard. Howard is from All Seeing Paranormal Society.
How you doing, Howard?
Hey, Terry, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Now, Howard, I have to give you first I got a question. Where are you actually located?
I'm actually in Lakeside. Lakeside, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, it's actually Henrico County, Virginia, but it's the area referred to as Lakeside.
Right.
So Terry is actually in Glenside.
Okay, so she's like right around down the road from me.
Glen Allen.
And yes. Or yeah, Glen Allen, not Glenside. Duh. Dumbass. Don't
mind
me.
Where about Glen Allen, Terry?
Just off Christian Drive.
Broad Street side of Glen Allen, not on the Route 1 side.
I got you. Okay.
Now,
yeah, we're down the road.
Howard, Terry is my best friend of nearly, what, Terry, 20 years?
Yeah.
And
wow. She's
an absolute diehard skeptic. Do you think we can change that, my friend?
Well, it depends on where we pick and what we pick to play. Yeah, I guess think we can change that.
I've told her repeatedly, I think the only way that I'm going to change her mind on this is if I take her into a location, she gets bitch-slapped and gets, boo, bitch, here I am.
That or the bus get lifted. Yep.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't believe. It's not that I do believe. I just don't have anything to set me in either direction.
And I want to change that.
Okay. Howard, I do have one question, is the fact that you were listening in and all that shit throughout the show. How, like, do you think that we brought up valid points that kind of needed to be addressed?
Oh, absolutely, man. No, I'm telling you, Matt, this is stuff that I've been, and it's just weird, but it's stuff I've been seeing growing in the last just week. And it's not just Tara. Tara wasn't the only one. There's a lot of people that are complaining about these other subgroups out there that, like y'all were talking about, A, they go in, they upset the client, or they don't follow up with the client, or B, you know, these other groups that claim that they are professionals or they have specific training for such and such amount of time, I'm okay with that. I train my group. I go with a three-hour class, but it's based on history of parapsychology, history of paranormal, the equipment that you're going to be using, and safety, and what to do and what not to do. There is nothing out there that can give you a document to say, I am blah, blah, blah. No. Pardon my Anglo-Saxon. Fuck that. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, and there went the clean language for the night.
Yeah, it's clean. Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Oh, wait.
Tony,
I blew
Tony,
that in the first 1 minute, didn't I?
Yeah. Hey, you fucked that one up.
Fucking figures I'd be the one to fuck it up.
Hey, somebody's got to start the party. Leave it to Dennis.
See, I'm not the only one.
I'm usually the one that shows up with the apple pie and starts the party, too.
Hi!
Yo, I'm here!
So no, I'm seriously just sick of fucking, like, sitting here and watching all this shit of, like, this train wreck of what the people who have TV shows fucking field is turning into. Like, it's ridiculous. And
it's because they see fame and they think everything they do is going to bring them fame. They don't realize how many hours we stick in the ditch year after year just to get a little something and doing it for gratification, not to be out there on publicity or, you know, in the media trying to, you know, say, hey, look at us. You know what? Screw you. I don't want to be in a camera. I don't want to be filmed. You know, that's far from our point. I've told my crew, if that's your expectation, you can leave now. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be on film, but I want it to be in my night vision camera.
Right.
And I want it to film me doing the right thing, which is helping someone.
Right.
That's what I got into this shit for. I got into it for two reasons. One, to find out what the hell it's like after life. Another something. It's not just all darkness and worm food. And to help people. You know, I've used this scenario 1,000 times. If little Johnny can't sleep in his own room because the little boy in the closet bugs him all night, I want to go in and see if I can help little Johnny sleep in his own room, and I want to see if I can help that little boy that's stuck in the closet move on.
That's right. That's right.
That's the two reasons I got into it.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
You know, and I'm not, like, name-dropping here or anything like that, but for example of what, like, for example, perfect example, Ghost Hunters, which I didn't get to meet Jason, but I met Grant, I met Dave, I met Steve, and finally got to meet Bruce in person while we were at Parafest. And aside from the fact that time went on and doing shots and having drinks, we actually had some damn good conversation. And, like, they actually do have the same morals. The shit that you see aired on TV, which Dennis and I have talked about many, many times with many, many other people, is that shit's never shown. It's just what makes for good dramatic TV.
That's right.
But no, like, they, you know, they're on location from anywhere from 3 to 7 days. And they condense that into an hour episode.
Yeah, but also can pay for it.
Well, that's the problem, though. That's what the other, well, the ones that I keep referring to as the mouth-breathing knuckle-draggers. That's
right.
All they want is to get paid.
Yeah.
They don't want to help people. If you're not in it to help people, then don't be in it. You're just hurting people and making it more difficult for us that do want to do it for the right damn reasons.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. They're getting their money, like I said before, from Discovery or History or whatever channel they're getting from. They've got a whole camera crew. They got resources out the bing-yang for, you know, cameras. Hell, we just want to put enough money together so we can get a floor. I mean, that's all I'm saying, you know? I don't know. I'd rather do it on my own than have somebody come along and go, hey, I'm going to give you this. No, not mine.
Well, no, I want them to come along and give it to me, but I don't want strings.
Oh, well, there you go.
Good.
Good. I'm good with donations like that, but I don't want the strings.
Yeah. Okay, I got gotcha.
You. Want to own it.
Yeah.
Not have it taken back.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I will say this. A few years back, do you remember watching Ghost Lab?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, Brad and Barry Kling were on our show probably, well, not long after I actually joined. I started sending them messages. Matt used to do Wednesdays with Sarah LaBrie.
Okay.
Then when Sarah went to Mexico, she couldn't call in anymore. It was like $2 a minute or some shit, $3 a minute for her to call in. So she asked Matt to pretty much take over the show until she could get everything figured out and get back to it. And then Matt asked me to co-host with him. So I'm like, okay, well, cool, you know. I got some people I want to talk to. And, I mean, unashamedly, I rode coattails. I said, hey, I'm Dennis. You know, I'm working on Sarah LaBrie's radio program. Would you like to come on? So I got Brad and Barry to come on the program with us. The trailer that they had, Ghost Lab, was actually given to them at the end of their three seasons. And, you know, it was an amazing gift, but they said they ended up selling it to the highest bidder for less than $5,000. I'm not willing to sell my ass for $5,000. A Fleur is not worth selling my ass. It's not worth selling my soul. I want this shit given to me, but I don't want the strings attached. If you want a TV program and you want me to be on it, then I run the son of a bitch.
Right. It's done our way, not their way.
And, yeah. Well, that's why Matt and I have already walked away from one offer. because they didn't want to give us any artist control. Well, screw you. You know, but it's just, I mean, he and I both have the, I guess, I'm not real sure what the hell you would call it, the moral fortitude, I guess, to go, fuck you. It's going to be for the benefit of everyone, not just me.
Right.
And that's why I teamed up with him. One, he's brilliant. Two, he's got the moral fortitude to stand up for what's right, not what is good for right now for me. Now, Matt, that goes back in response to you throwing all the praises on me earlier, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I don't want pity praise.
No, it wasn't that. It was just exactly, that was why I agreed to team up with you. And I didn't have to.
No.
But I liked the intelligence and I liked what you're about and what you stand for and the fact that you will stand instead of just back down. To me, that was one of the best character pieces about you.
Like, for example, I'm sure that we pissed a bunch of people off tonight, but I'm fine with that.
But it's just like I told you in text, fuck them.
Yeah. I mean,
sorry. You know, I've been dormant and quiet for so long. I've dealt with so much bullcrap in the last 4 years. I'm getting to the point where, you know, I'm very diplomatic on how I do things, but eventually, you know, it's going to come out. It's just going to, my tolerance level is really high, but it's only going to go but so high. So I'm with you, Dennis. Trust me, I'm with you.
Well, that's good because, you know, I might need someone to pick me up and help me walk away from a location eventually. But,
yeah,
not they sound all dumbass and stuff, but it breaks my heart when I see people post things like Tara posted the other day. Matt, we're talking about Tara Street. She had a woman called her, and I'm sure Tara would be fine with me throwing this out here on the air. She had a woman call her the other day that was just absolutely terrified of her house. Had a team came in that really didn't know jack shit and told the woman that she had a demon in her house. Well, I'm not saying it's absolutely out of the possibility of just possible, but Tara did what Tara does. Tara is very well versed in this. Tara is actually part of David Roundtree and Tracy Ray's New Jersey Spirit Lab.
Okay, yeah.
They have acknowledged her and they have welcomed her in. Now, for David Roundtree and Tracy Ray to acknowledge you and bring you on as part of New Jersey Spirit Lab, you've earned your cred.
Mm-hmm.
When she got done with her interview with this woman, the woman was much more at ease, believed that it's probably not a demon, and Tara agreed to go meet her, actually took the drive and went to meet her, blah, blah, blah. And Tara did what's supposed to be done. She got the research. She talked to the client, verified all the shit. You know, she did what was supposed to be done. Not just go in thinking, okay, let's set up all this fancy equipment that I don't know how to use and did a bullshit rendezvous.
Yeah, Dennis, I got one question. What in that there, what's the flare? What does it do?
A flare?
Yeah.
Forward-looking infrared.
What is that infrared structure?
You're trying to test me, aren't you, you prick? If you would like to test me, bastard, you certainly can. Flare reads the same thing that you see on a camera, but it reads temperature signals. If it's warm, it shows up in a red. And as it cools, it goes to blue.
Oh, okay.
If something in absolute blue moves that is in a human shape, then you're either looking at somebody is moving a corpse across the room, or you're potentially looking at a spirit moving.
Absolutely right.
Here, well, there's different. Oh wait, there's full spectrum to that. Haha, shameless plug. But
so, by the way, anytime, and this is part of why we named it full spectrum, Howard. Anytime that you mention a full spectrum, shameless plug, camera or a full spectrum, shameless plug. Video camera, and you're on air with us, you have to shameless plug.
Yeah, rock on. Do what now? Plug. Shameless plug.
Or, or FLIR, shameless plug, because they don't pay us. That's why it's a shameless plug, not a gratified plug.
Yeah.
But no, well, there's... there are certain things like the FLIR, I think it's the X2, which is the one that most of your, you know, XYZ fucking paranormal groups go out and rent.
Yeah.
Well, that one is absolute bullshit, and don't even waste your money.
Yeah, that's
the one. That's the one that has the screen on the handheld.
Yeah.
That's the one he wants to get?
Well,
no, that's the one you don't want to get.
Exactly. That's not the yeah. See, so you can hear you didn't.
By the way, I believe in the background with Howard, that's probably fireballed out the wazoo.
That is my brother Ryan, yes sir.
Hey buddy.
Hi buddy, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine.
I figured I better talk slow for you because you probably fireballed up and not going to catch up real fast.
I think we broke him, Dennis.
You think we broke Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Have him in the same sense.
And Ryan, I have to ask, how in the fuck did you come up with... and here's what I busted up laughing about earlier, Matt. Ryan sent me a Facebook message that said, damn, I thought you said paranormal angioplasty. Damn, I need my ears checked. No, that would be why I asked you to go pee in a cup tomorrow, because I think you need a drug check, not an ear check.
I don't know, man. It's like, when I heard it, I'm like, that's it. That makes no sense at all. What the hell is paranormal angioplasty? Then I heard you talk about Angie's List. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense. I thought it was like a joke or something. You know, like, oh, he's got to give these guys paranormal angioplasty.
Oh, Joker. Yeah. Speaking of Joker.
Go for it. Go for it.
You know what I'm doing, Matt?
Yes, I do, and that's why I said go for it.
I'm looking. I gotta find it. Oh, there it is.
Don't joke around. Listen to Full Spectrum Radio, and you'll get a smile on your face.
Joke around.
Oh. Yeah, like I said, I thought it was just a joke, but, you know,
rock on.
But I like that idea of having the list. That's a great idea.
Well, here's the problem, though. Would the homeowner or client be the one that submits their, I don't even know what the hell you call it. Would the homeowner or client be the one that submits their comments about a team, or would it be another team?
No, it should be the client. It's just like the contractor, you know. The contractor goes in the house, that customer is going to put the review on them. The client is the one that gives the reference or the downpour.
You have too much of a chance if you have peer review of teams bashing you for no reason, just because they can, and talking bad stuff about your team, even though it's not true.
Now, that's a bunch of bullshit to begin with, but...
You know, people...
But here's the problem. But here's my problem with that scenario. Most homeowners don't know about the paranormal. Most homeowners don't know what we actually have to do an investigation. And once we do an investigation, even if you do a stellar fucking investigation and you get nothing, which, you know, Howard, you've been on a fucking location where you got absolutely squat.
Yeah.
Does that mean you did a shitty investigation, or it just isn't active?
I think it's how you present yourself. The first off, when the client manager goes in, they got to be able to tell them, you know, hey, you know, we may not even get anything this go around, but we're going to make the 100% effort to do so, and then we follow in. You know, we've agreed to have clients. They say, hey, can I stay? Sure, why don't you stay for a little bit, and that way we can check the balance of the house, and you can see what we're doing. I don't have a problem with that at all. And that way they get a visual sight of what me and my team do. Yeah, they feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Talk about how you conduct yourself.
Well, I have never, quote-unquote, evicted a client while I do my investigation. They're welcome to stay, always. But... I will always station a recorder near them, and I will always station a investigator with them at all times.
Agreed.
Yeah, definitely.
Those two things are a must.
Yep.
There's no option. You can sit in the living room, and if they're following you, then I've got one of my team members that is responsible for tagging audio based solely on the client. Client boot scuff, client nose sniff, whatever. You know, their whole job is not to pay attention to the investigation. You'll get your chance to see the investigation on the video and on the audio. But your whole job during this investigation, since the client insists that they are staying in the home, your whole job is to watch them and tag my audio and cover my ass.
That's exactly right.
Now, is that conducive to a really good investigation? Yes and no.
Yeah.
They're the ones that the spirit is familiar with. Am I more apt to get activity from a spirit with a familiar person there? Hell yeah. You know, Matt and I have had this conversation countless times about return visits to the same location and make yourself familiar and make yourself known and fit in.
Yeah, exactly right. Because as far as what I've spoken to the team about, the reason why we want to do more than one investigation if the client allows us to is, A, the client gets recognized with us, and our, quote-unquote, our energy level is pronounced in the containment area. So absolutely agree.
No. Another thing is, if I can get the client to leave, I have gone so far as to have the client leave me recordings of their voices, asking some of the questions that I would normally ask. Can you come forward and talk to us now? I know you're in my home. And, you know, these are just things that, well, through countless investigations, I've come to the conclusion that this is the best way that it has to be done.
Matt.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Thank you. I'm glad I woke you up, buddy. Hey, if Howard and Ryan came into your home unannounced, I brought them in and they just start talking around in circles, what's your opinion going to be?
What's my opinion going to be? I don't know why I'm getting an echo, but I am. No, my opinion is actually, if I was, I was going to sound bad. Hold on here. Oh, come on. There we go.
Sounds great.
Speaker up. So, sorry, I was texting Jason, but no, if Howard and Ryan walked into my house and with you and wanted to talk to me and started asking the bullshit questions, if I happen to have any intelligence as a spirit, might I say, that I'd be like, dude, you can't see me. You don't know where the fuck I am. I'm going to watch you make an ass of yourself.
Yes. That's my point. So these are things that, you know, trial and error and time and education and effort will teach you.
Yeah. See, that's what I was telling you. Just because they ask a question doesn't mean they're going to answer it.
Hell no. They might be sitting behind you laughing their ass off going, what? I can make him look like a dick in just a moment. Hang on. I know he's going to ask me to talk to that little red light over there. Hang on. They did this before. Hang on.
Hey,
I mean, it's like, look at them. All, they're all shitting now. What was that? It's like, you know, if you go fishing, just because you throw the bait out, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a bite.
Yep.
Exactly. And that's where Matt and I have, over the last almost year and a half, come to so many conclusions and so many equal points that we love the way each other thinks. We know what the hell is going to happen. I mean, I pretty much any question that you ask Matt, I can pretty much answer it without me hearing his answer or him hearing my answer. And I can pretty much tell you what his answer will be.
Yeah, you're getting pretty close to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan's getting pretty close to that with me.
Well, that's phenomenal. I mean, if you can have two, and I'd love to have Matt out of the fucking Windy City area down here where he and I could go do investigations. And at some point, if we get close enough that we can do the same thing, I'll join you on every investigation and I'll bring you on every investigation with me.
Right.
But that'd be great. But much like meeting new kids on the playground, you got to know what they're about.
Yep. So agree.
There's always a playout process, for sure.
Well, I mean, you got to know if that's, you know, here we go again. I'm trying to put a cap on my mouth. it goes back to, you know,
you're trying to put a what in your mouth? Ryan, step away from him. Step away, Ryan. Step away fast, Ryan.
Here we go. It's you want to know how much does that person know? And if they're just coming in and they just read a book, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm ready to go out because of such and such. I'm going to go, shut up, fool. I don't get time for this. That's why we do the weeding out. It's not worth the time. And if you can catch up with somebody that's got your personality traits and you work well together, it's a phenomenal team, and it makes everything that much better when you're doing what you're doing.
It makes it fun.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Now, Howard, if I were to fill out an application and offer to take the classes with your team, can I be on your team?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You trust me?
You know what? The deal is the trusting point would come through that period of time that you're with me. I'm a pretty good profiler, so I actually take a look. I watch people. I just do. It's just an ear for me. So when a person comes and talks to me, we do an interview, and then I put you through a class, you can tell, you know, an hour or 2 hours if this person is either A, got the interest, or has got the drive to do what you're doing, and if you can work well with that person or not. It's just the way it is. I know, it's like I was saying before, I've just gotten to this point where I've gotten pretty good with people face-to-face. Phone-on-phone is one thing, but when you get face-to-face, that's when science takes over, man. Okay.
I agree. I had to hit mute for a moment because I stepped out of my little office and went to grab another beer. It's absolutely gorgeous weather here. I'm not sure what the temperature is outside, but apparently the skunk that has found my yard decided that it's perfect weather to spray, and I stepped out of my little office and about gagged. God, I hit a skunk. Now I'm terrified. I have three, probably close to 60-pound or just over pit bulls. The last thing I want is one of these dumb bitches to go chasing after a skunk.
Well, that would be pretty.
Or smelly.
Oh, God.
They sleep in my bedroom. Most of the time they sleep on the foot of my bed. Thank God I have a California king, but the last damn thing I want is one of them getting sprayed.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I built my team literally with newbies.
Mm-hmm.
They had a single thread in common among them all in the fact that at some point in time, they've had a what-the-fuck moment that drew them to the paranormal.
Right.
Now, it helps greatly that they're all law enforcement, with the exception of one, in the fact that I control their training, and they agree to that with no questions. They understand a hierarchy. That comes with intelligence, training, and common sense. And my team is loaded with those, like, in spades. So, to take on somebody that doesn't know this field and doesn't have a passion for it, or a passion to help people, which, I mean, a law enforcement officer's first and foremost job is to help them. So I knew they would be optimum for this job. They would be the optimal investigators. One, they're extremely aware of their surroundings. Two, they want to help people. That's what they want to do. And three, they understand the hierarchy and they're able to take directives and learn quickly. Not to pat myself on the back, but I think I have got a team that will go up against any fucking team in this country and kick ass. Now, does that mean that they are the best? No. But they are awesome at what they do. And none of them would ever put a client in a position of being more shaken up, scared, fearful, whatever, than they were before we walked in.
Right.
And that's the type of people that you want on your team. They're, our goal when we go in, not just our goal, but our job when we go in, is to set the homeowner or client's mind at ease.
Exactly right.
Now, it's like I said, if little Johnny can't sleep on his in his own bedroom, my goal and my job is to make it so he can. But you can only do those things with, you know, education, training, knowledge. They're just critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't do it with Fireball. Just so you know, Ryan. But you can have a damn good time with Fireball.
Right. Okay. You know, I'll give props where props do. You know, y'all heard Ryan Monday night. But that was him when he first started with us. And he's come a long way. So I'm sitting here and I'm looking at him going, you know, hey, he's done a hell of a fucking job in a year. So
I appreciate that.
You know, it's how you perceive and take on people, checking their personalities, and knowing that that's going to be the team member that you want, that you're looking for.
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, like you said, you have to be able to mesh with your team. The personalities have to mesh. If you can't form a cohesive team, get out. And
that talks to your team. Sorry.
Do what?
I say you have to be able to communicate and go through different ideas and not feel like you're going to be shot down. You have to feel comfortable enough with your team to throw yourself out there, put yourself out there, and not feel like you're going to be shunned or whatever.
Right.
I'd say persecuted or whatever.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. You have to have a cohesive team. They have to work together without all the argument and all the bullshit and et cetera. They have to be cohesive. Everybody has to work with each other. You know, if I hypothetically, Howard, myself, Matt, and Ryan are a team, I should be able at any point in time to put any one of those four together as a twosome and send them in, and they are a team. Any two members of your team, because this goes back to, well, and that's part of why I really wanted Jason on with us, because he likes investigating solo.
Mm.
I disagree with investigating solo.
Yeah, me too.
But he makes valid points why he best investigates solo. So you definitely have to listen. When we do get Jason Musgrove on the program with us, you have to listen to him, because I'm going to hammer him on it, trust me. Hey, Matt, how easy am I on our guests? Do I sugarcoat anything?
Good. You've never sugarcoated anything in your life.
And that comes from the woman that's known me for almost 2 decades. If you want fucking sugar-coated, go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
But if you can't form a team that any given 2 members of that team can go off and do their thing, then you haven't formed your team properly. Just my line of thought. Now, on to a true order of business, Howard. We were talking in messaging. There is a closed-down retirement home inside the city of Richmond. I won't give away its area, not on the air, but I'll tell you about it.
All right.
The building itself was put up in 1897, I believe. It was a retirement home before 1930 and closed in the late 80s, early 90s as a retirement home. A portion of its existence wasn't just a retirement home. It was a holding facility, was how it was termed. You know, in the early 1900s, if you had a mentally or physically handicapped child, you put them into either an asylum, like, you know, somewhere like St. Albans or Trans-Allegheny, Pennhurst, or a nursing home. Well, this place has been closed down for 15 years. I have pictures of it that are just fucking freaky. But I will start seeing what I can do about getting us into that.
On this end of Richmond?
You what?
In Richmond?
Yes.
Interesting.
I've got to go back and look at my pictures because it actually had a canopy hanging over the front of it that gave away its name. It's probably been 6 months or so since I looked at it and actually thought about it. But I'll go back and pull the pictures. Terry, would you, the skeptic, like to join us?
Sure, sounds like it could go.
We got a giggle. That's a good thing.
Well, Terry actually worked with me at my training location that I told you about, Howard.
Yeah.
How long did we spend there, Terry?
2.5 months
or so?
Yeah.
Doing the remodel.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Did odd shit work there?
Did what?
Did odd shit happen?
Well, yeah, it depends on who you ask.
Okay.
Remember, hello, skeptic.
Yeah.
I had nothing directly speak to me. I had nothing come up in, or no one come up and slap me in the face. Other than that, were there some oddities? Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
See, now, a skeptic, an oddity could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm in the building by myself and I get run out of the building to my truck to grab my 40 cal, to go search through the building and find out where the footsteps came from or who the footsteps came from, and I know I'm locked and deadbolted inside the building alone, that's an oddity to a skeptic.
Yeah.
I heard something walk up the hallway. That's odd. Yes, that's fucking odd because the building's empty. Gary, I love you to death, darling, and I swear, before this is all over and done with, I will make a believer out of you, sweetheart. There is something after we're dead. And to quote you, no, it is not all just blackness and worm food.
I knew that was coming.
Do what, Terry?
I knew that was coming. And quote about blackness and worm food.
Hey, don't make me call your aunt. I'll have her send some pictures to prove it to you.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, no.
What are you coming?
Now, I didn't get into this the other night. Ryan?
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
What?
I did it on purpose this time. What's up?
How long were you in the Army?
I was in the Boy Scouts for like a year.
Okay. So the yes, sir, no, sir thing?
That was my dad. Growing up, he always wanted me to call people sir. So it got kind of... I got this guy used to doing it, you know?
Okay, I'm good with that.